Well, happy Father's Day to all you fathers, and I must admit I love being a father, and I'm grateful that God let me be a father. You know, if you look at the world today, if you look at the news, you look on paper and online, on the TV, the world is full of problems. You know, we have problems with addictions and abuse, broken homes, homelessness, suicide, mass shootings, you know, overwhelming debt. The list is endless. We have so many problems. So we blame the government, or we blame society, we blame the culture, the politically correct attitude, we blame each other, and most of all, we blame God for all our problems. But if that's all you see in your life, if all you see are problems, if you feel like you're dealing with problem after problem, or your problems never get solved, if that's how you view your life, you will never experience God's promises. That's all you see is problems. And that's the thinking behind today's question, the questions that God asks us. Well, we know the story of the nation of Israel. The Israelites left slavery in Egypt. Moses parted the Red Sea and the people went through it. The Egyptian army was destroyed by the Red Sea when it came back. And then after 40 years of wandering in the desert, the Jewish nation were ready to enter the promised land. They were about ready to step into that land that was promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The great city of Jericho was the first city. It was a big, giant, fortified city. And God says, you will take that city. It is the first city in the promised land. Now, if you know Old Testament culture, the first fruits go to God. So the first city, Jericho, belonged to God. That meant the entire city, everything in it was devoted to God. Everyone and everything in that city would be destroyed. There will be no slaves taken. There will be no livestock. Nothing was to be taken from that city. Any gold and precious metals and precious stones that they found would be taken into the temple treasury. Everything was devoted to God. No one was to take anything. Now we know the story that the walls of Jericho fell down. God destroyed the walls. And it's interesting, if we go to, look at our next slide. This is an image of what they thought the Jericho looked like. And archaeologists have found Jericho. They found the walls fallen down outward, just like it said in the Bible. It's amazing that they found this. So the walls fall down, the city's vulnerable. The Israelites went up and conquered the city. They destroyed the entire city, killed everything in it, and not a single soldier was lost. The Israelites were victorious. They were confident in God. After this victory, they went to the city of Ai to take it. And Ai was a small fortified city. It had a small population, maybe 20,000 people, maybe 3,000 fighting men. And they were so confident that the people, the soldiers said, well, just send 3,000 people and we can take that city too. But they suffered an embarrassing defeat. They were routed by the small number of men. 36 of their soldiers died as they ran away in fear, and they were shocked. And we look at this passage in Joshua chapter 7, verse 6. After this embarrassing defeat, then Joshua tore his clothes and fell face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord, remaining there till evening. The elders of Israel did the same, sprinkled dust on their heads. And Joshua said, ah, sovereign Lord, why did you ever bring this people across the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan. Oh Lord, what can I say now that Israel has been routed by its enemies? They were shocked and embarrassed that they were so defeated. So they throw themselves on the ground. They throw dust up in the air. They tear their clothes. This is the way Old Testament people showed their grief and sorrow and disappointment. They said, God, why did you bring us to the promised land? Why did you bring us here only to suffer defeat? You know, they had a great victory at Jericho and they had a bad loss at Ai. They were defeated. They were scared. They had a big, big problem. Have you ever felt that way? You know, things have gone wrong in your life. Things are not going the way you want it to go. You're upset, you're scared, you're not happy, and you blame God. God, why don't you answer my prayer, God? God, why did you let this happen? God, why can't you fix things? When you blame God, you miss the big picture. You miss the truth. See, instead of whining to God, Joshua and the elders should have gone to God in worship and said, God, what did we do wrong? God, why did this happen? God, speak to us. Because if you read the story of Ai, when they went to attack it, they never even asked God if they should do so. They did it on their own. So this leads us to our first fill-in. Sin is the source of all your problems. Almost every problem we see in the world today, the source is sin, because sin is our problem. Joshua 6:27. So the Lord was with, this is right after the victory at Jericho, verse 6:27. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout the land. Man, you know, Joshua marched around the city and the walls of Jericho fell down. Then chapter 7, verse 1, but. You know, there's that ominous word, you know, but. Someone tells you good news, but there's a problem. The Israelites acted unfaithfully in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of them, so the Lord's anger burned against Israel. But is used. The word but is used to introduce a phrase or clause contrasting with what was already shared or mentioned. Joshua was famous after his victory at Jericho, but there was a problem. Achan. And Achan's name means trouble. Okay? Achan means trouble. He took some of the devoted things and sinned against God. Why do you have so many problems in your life today? The truth is because you have a big butt. You have a big butt. Not the one you sit on, but something you are hiding from God. You may do a lot of good things, but there is hidden sin. There is sin that you have not shared. As a counselor, I've learned that just about everybody's problems in the world are self-inflicted. Sometimes it's something like an addiction. Sometimes it's something like a bad attitude, and we hurt ourselves and we hurt the people we love. Sometimes when I do counseling, you're not supposed to do this, but sometimes when I'm doing counseling, I just want to tell the person, you don't have a problem, you are the problem. You are the problem. That sin in your life is dominating you and causing all your problems. Now when you read this story, you think, God, man, God's really harsh. One person out of thousands and thousands of soldiers took a devoted thing, but everybody else did what was right. Kind of reminds me of this picture of my hand sanitizer. You know? It kills 99.9% of germs. You know, but they can't say it kills 100% because you might get a germ. You know, the Israelites were 99.9% pure. But they were not 100% holy, and that was a problem. God is holy and demands perfect obedience. Okay? If we learn anything from the sermon today, it is God is holy and demands 100% obedience. And then, so when you talk to someone, people tell me all the time, I don't need Jesus, I don't need God, I'm a good person. My good, you know, outweighs my bad. And you say, well, that's great, but if God is 100% holy, how do you deal with that? Are you that holy? You know, 0.1%? God demands obedience. Sin is always the problem, and sin causes more problems. The first thing it causes is sin separates you from God. God distances himself from us. God expects holiness and obedience. God's commands are to be obeyed. You know, we know about the Ten Commandments. It is called the Ten Commandments. It's not called the Ten Suggestions. You know, it's not called the Ten Recommendations. You know, it doesn't go ahead, if you feel like it, follow them. God was not bothered by this sin. He wasn't just annoyed by the sin. He was angry, and says his anger burned against Israel. You know, we love our fathers and we don't listen to them. You know, it's time to eat and we just ignore them. It's time to get in the car and we just ignore them. But man, when dad really gets angry, then we listen. You know, when His anger burns, we know He's serious. And God's like, God is, His anger is burning against Israel. Not because of emotional anger, because of righteous anger, because God is holy. Sin always separates us from God. When you are using an electrical appliance and you unplug it and you cut off the power, there is no more power. And the Israelites realized that they were powerless. They could not defeat their enemy without God, without being plugged in to God. But their sin had separated them from God. You cannot defeat your pain and the problems in your life unless you are connected to God, unless you separate yourself from your sin and stay connected to God. When you're separated from God, you can no longer feel His presence and power in your life. That's the first problem. So when we're separated from God, it causes even more problems. Then the second thing we see about sin is sin hurts those that are around you. One man sinned, yet 36 men died. Our sins always hurt those around us. It may not be a physical hurt. It might be a mental or an emotional or a spiritual pain we cause. You know, if your sin is alcohol addiction, and I minister to people who are alcoholics, and man, they mess themselves up. They ruin their livers. They can't control themselves. But man, they use up their family's money. They cause problems in all the relationships. They have health problems, and family has to take care of them because they have health problems. Your sins hurt those that are around you. If your sin is a pridefulness or anger or jealousy or hate, you end up driving everybody you love away because you're always angry at them. Now the question is this: why would God blame the whole nation for the disobedience of one soldier? Why? He sinned. Shouldn't he just be the one who is punished? Why did God hold the whole society, the whole nation liable? Well, it's because when you look at the Old Testament, Israel was considered one people in the Lord. And so when I see what Israel went through, I look at them as one person. The Lord did not look at them as a collection of assorted tribes and clans. God dwelt in the midst of their camp, and this made the Jewish people the Lord's special people. So when one sinned, they all sinned. See, we must never underestimate the amount of damage one person can cause outside of the will of God. It's a lesson for us today. If one of us in our church sins, we all suffer. Especially if it's a pastor or a leader. If one sins, the whole church suffers. If in your family, the father or the mother or the child sins, it doesn't matter what, everyone suffers. I saw a story this week about a mother who lost two sons. Two teenage sons, great kids. You know, I saw the pictures, they're popular and everything. Well, they went to a party, both sons, and both sons tried some new drug that someone had, and they both died of overdoses on the same morning. They're both dead. And see, sin hurts those that are around us. Now, the second thing we see is that sin must be dealt with. When there is a sin in your life, you're going to have problems. Maybe you can cover it up for a little while, but you're going to have problems until it is dealt with. I love watching my grandkids for just a little while, just a few hours or something, but sometimes we watch them for a couple of days, and I always laugh because, you know, when they're in the twos and the threes, they're hard on their parents, they disobey, they whine. I like to watch them throw themselves on the floor and throw tantrums and stuff like that, and it's hilarious. And then, so when they come to our house, well, Grandpa doesn't put up with nothing. I mean, I don't put up with anything. And so they don't do any of that. And so I always call my kids always call me, and how are my kids doing? You have wonderful children. I don't know why you say they're so bad. And it's funny. And then as soon as we bring them back, one of my granddaughters saw their parents and just threw himself on the floor. I'm like, you know, why do they do that? You know, is it something flawed in them? No, they do it to manipulate you. They do it to manipulate their parents and get their way. And here, the nation of Israel, these grown men, have thrown themselves on the floor, screaming, throwing dirt up in the air because they were angry at God. They wanted their way. God, why didn't you give me what I wanted? See, counseling, therapy, drugs might help you deal with your problems, but you cannot resolve your problems completely until you take control of your life and deal with the sin. So Joshua 7:10, the Lord said to Joshua, stand up What are you doing down on your face? That's the question today. Maybe you've been having problems. You've been whining and crying. You've been complaining to everybody about your life. God says, stand up. What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen. They have lied. They have put them with their own possessions. That is why the Israelites cannot stand before against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. I will not be with you anymore until you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. God says, you get up. Get up, stop crying, here's your problem. There is sin in the camp. Sin must be dealt with. See, it doesn't do any good for us to cry for hours and to cry before the Lord, before His presence, if we are not willing to obey God. We're not simply willing to obey the things God calls us to do. Why are you crying about your problems? You cannot possess the spiritual blessings of God. You can't possess the spiritual blessing God wants to give you unless you get rid of that sin in your life. God says, get up. Deal with your sins. When you're talking with someone at work, when you're trying to counsel someone who has problems, you need to ask them, just be honest. You know, hey, you know, my pastor was talking the other day about why we have problems. And usually there's a source, a sin. Maybe you didn't sin originally, but now you have a sinful attitude. Or maybe you did commit a sin. Is there something in your life that you're not pointing it out to them, but you're just saying, is there something in your life you need to consider, something you need to get right with God? Joshua 7:14, God says, in the morning, present yourselves tribe by tribe. That tribe the Lord takes shall come forward clan by clan. The clan that the Lord takes shall come forward family by family, and the family that the Lord takes shall come forward man by man until that sinner is identified. And so the way they would do it, look at our next slide. They would take pot shards, you know, pieces of broken pottery, and they would take 12 of them out, write the names of the tribes of Israel on it. Then they put those pieces in a pot and shake it around till one flew out. And the one that flew out is the one the Lord has taken. And so if we go to our next slide, we see that tribe by tribe, the 12 tribes came, out comes the tribe of Judah. And then clan by clan, they come, then out comes the Zeratites were taken. And then they come, the Zeratite families would come family by family, and the family of Zimri was taken. And then that clan, that family, man by man, they would come forth, and Achan was taken. Can you imagine that if I said to you today, now this is not true, but let's just imagine, I said, there is sin in our church. Someone has been stealing from the offering. And the Lord has called me to identify that person today. And we pulled out lots. And I said, well, it's this section, number 3, that is the one. And you'd all look at each other. Then I'd say, it's the someone in the 4th row. Okay, Larry's confessing already. It's okay. We forgive you. I'm just teasing. Why did God do that? Why did He go clan by clan and tribe by tribe? Didn't God know who it was? Couldn't God have just shined a big light from the sky? And said, there He is! That's Him right there. I think God was giving Achan a chance to confess, to come forward freely, to admit his sin, and be forgiven. Joshua 7:19, then Joshua said to Achan, my son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and give Him the praise. Tell me what you have done. Do not hide it from me. Achan replied, it is true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I have done. When I saw the plunder, a beautiful robe for Babylonia, I took it. 200 shekels of silver, which is 5 pounds of silver, I took it. A wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, which is 1.25 pounds of gold, he took it. I coveted, then I took them, then I hid them. They are hidden in the ground of my tent with the silver underneath. You know, that's good stuff. You know, a beautiful robe, you know, a bunch of silver, a big old chunk of gold. You know, that's good stuff. You know, maybe Achan saw and he said, I deserve it. You know, it says here that he what? I saw, verse 21, and then I coveted and I took them and then I hid them. He saw it, and at first he probably thought, oh, goes to the temple. But then he thought, oh man, that's really nice. Then he started coveting it. Then he probably reasoned, I deserve this. I've been wandering in the desert for 40 years. I've been doing what God obeyed. I went and took the city. I'm giving 99% of what I found to God, but I'm going to keep 1% for me. I took, I saw, I coveted, I took, and then I hid. And he knows it's a sin because he hid it from everyone. He buried it in the ground. Satan saying, yeah, you deserve it. Keep it. You deserve it. Now Joshua says, give God the glory. Stop lying. You want to give glory to God? Stop lying. Just say the truth. Now it's interesting that Joshua did not rely solely on that piece of pottery that flew out of the pot. You know, they're shaking and out it comes. He relied on confession and evidence. And as church, as people of the church, we must never accuse someone. We must never spread gossip. We must never blame somebody for something we don't know for sure it is true. He used confession and evidence. See, your problems will never go away until you have identified that specific sin, the sin that you need to deal with. An alcoholic will say, well, I have a problem with alcohol. Well, that's a symptom. That's not the problem. Maybe there was something in the past, a broken heart, some abuse or something else, or some fear that they're dealing with. The sin must be dealt with. The sin must be confessed. The sin you must be truly sorry for, and then you take step of repentance. See, it's not confession alone. It's honest confession. You have godly sorrow, and then you have real repentance. A lot of people want to confess, but they don't want to get right. They don't want to get right with God. They don't want to take steps that heal, bring healing. The third thing we see is that sin always ends in death. For the wages of sin is death. That's the ugliness of sin. That's the thing that nobody wants to talk about. If we remain in our sin, we will not only die a physical death, but we will die a spiritual death in a place called hell. We'll be separated from God for all eternity. Joshua 7:25. Joshua said, why have you brought this trouble on us? The Lord will bring trouble on you today. Then all of Israel stoned him, and after they had stoned the rest, he stoned his entire family. They burned them. Then over Achan they heaped a large pile of rocks, which remains this day. Then the Lord turned from his fierce anger. Therefore, that place has been called the Valley of Achor ever since. Because he had touched the devoted things, because his family saw what he did and knew what he did, everyone was killed. They were destroyed. Everything was burned. They were considered unclean. Then a pile of rocks were placed on top of that spot where they were buried. And every time a father and his son or daughter walked by that, and the daughter goes, what's that rock for? They would tell the story of Achan, how sin grieves God, how sin is an offense against God, and how we need to confess our sins. Only when the wages of sin was paid was God's anger satisfied. Sin is serious business to God. The problem is sin, and sin always ends in death. God's holiness demands that sin be punished, but God still loves us and he wants to save us. How does God reconcile his holiness and wrath with his love and salvation? That's number four. Jesus Christ is the answer to all your problems. You got a problem today? I don't care what it is. Jesus is the answer to all your problems. See, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to live a sinless life, but yet die a sinner's death on the cross. You do not have to die for your sins. Jesus took your place. Jesus paid the price of your sin. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's another big but. You know, that's a big but. You should die for your sins, but Jesus will save you if you accept His gift. Jesus died in your place. It is a gift from God. Because it's a gift, that means you must be willing to accept it. Just because you're at church doesn't mean you accepted that gift. Just because you grew up in a church doesn't mean you accepted that gift. You must consciously say, Jesus, I want the gift of eternal life. I want the gift of forgiveness of sin. I want the gift of your love and heaven. I want that gift. The presence and the blessing of the Lord are directly related to your obedience and holiness. We will never experience the full measure of God's blessing in our lives until we have accepted the gift of God. We let God live in us. We let Christ live through us. Look at John 1:29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." I think you could change that wording a little bit. Say, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the problems of the world." Because sin is a problem and Jesus is the answer. See, when God forgives you, when Jesus forgives you, you don't have to live in fear and guilt and shame anymore. It opens your heart to God's love. When you trust in Jesus, He teaches you how to live a good life, how to stop sinning, how to start living the life He wants you to live. It's not just Jesus is not a magic genie that comes upon you and just takes all your problems away. He shows you how to get rid of those problems, how to solve those problems, how to resolve them, how to move past them. Jesus wants to give you a better life and a better future. So today I want to ask you, why are you on your face? Why are you so sad and downcast? What problems are you facing today? Are they impossible? Are they unsolvable? God says, examine your heart. That's time to be honest. Identify that sin. Come to me and let my holiness reveal your sin. Confess your sin to God and to those around you. Express godly sorrow that you truly realize sinned against God. And then practice real repentance. You know, sometimes our sin, when they stay too long in us, they become a hurt, a habit, or a hang-up. A hurt might be a emotional hurt that people have hurt us. We can't get past that depression. A habit is like a physical addiction that we have. A hang-up is a mental one. We can't get past it. That sin is entrenched. We can help you. God will help you deliver you from that pain and problems. I've helped other people with their problems. You want to talk? You still got problems? Come and see me. But today I want to ask you, why are you on your face? God says, stand up. Get right with Him. Confess your sins. And maybe you're here today and you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Maybe you know that you are 99.9% good, but you're not good enough. Jesus is good enough. He lived a 100% sinless life. He died on the cross for sins. He wants to give you forgiveness of sin and eternal life. If you're here today and you have not accepted that gift, I encourage you to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. Let's pray. Father, we know that You love us. We know that You made us. You created us to love us. And even though we sinned against You, You still loved us. But Your holiness demands that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. We thank You, Lord, for the gift of Jesus Christ in our lives, that we can have hope in a future. We can know where we're going because of You. I pray, Father, there's someone here. I know everybody here are good people. They're great people, wonderful people. They've never hurt anyone. But Father, if they do not confess You as Lord of their lives, they are not right with You. And I pray if there's someone here today who needs to trust in You, they will say, Lord Jesus, I accept You as my Savior and my Lord. I'll follow You all the way to heaven. You teach me how to solve my problems and get past my problems. Father, if my brother or sister here today is hurting, they're in pain, they don't know what to do, I pray they look to You, Jesus, as realize that You can show them the way for a better life and better future. Father, we just worship You and glorify You now, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing, and if you're ready to make a decision or commitment to the Lord, please come forward. Let's stand as we sing.